Well, it's obvious that he loves us a lot, and I sure am thankful for the grace and the forgiveness of God, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for that good song. Brother Carter Lopez played the offertory, is from Michigan, and he is a freshman at Commonwealth Baptist College. He's single and looking, and see me after the service tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, we read verses 1 through 6. We're now going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and we're going to read 6 verses there. I want to put in your mind what we read in verse or chapter 28, and just to remind you, verse number 1, the Bible says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Look at verse number 6. The last of that verse says, And 120,000 in one day were slain, which were all valiant men. Notice this phrase, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Now go to chapter 29, and we go from Ahaz to Hezekiah. And the Bible says in chapter 29 and verse number 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now, David was a forefather. He was not the father of these men, but he would be like we would refer to as a forefather of America. David would be seen. He was the second king of Israel. And so they followed the ways of David or did not follow the ways of David because David was the pattern for right. Are you with me tonight? Now, verse number 3, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your fathers, Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Keep your Bibles open as we're going to look at verses in both chapters as I bring you a very simple, a very obvious message from the Word of God on leadership and revival. Leadership and revival. It does matter who our representatives are in Frankfort. It does matter who our representatives are and who the lawmakers are in Congress. It does matter who is in the White House. It does matter who's in control, who's in charge in your house. It does matter that a man of God is standing behind the pulpit in the church house. And I'm going to preach tonight on the subject, leadership and revival. Heavenly Father, oh, how we need you tonight. Help us to see yet another picture of what one person can do to harm a large group of people, and yet what one person can do when they lead in righteousness. And Lord, the most important thing that we need to see is that you recognize and bless obedience and righteousness, and we hunger to see that increased in our homes, in our churches, and in our nation, because we desire your blessings. We desire to please you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Throughout the Word of God and throughout history, revival was something that began, something that started in the heart and hunger of a man who walked with God. The simplest form of the word revival simply means to revive, to bring back to life. It means to return or to recover. One of the Bible words that would be synonym for revival would be the word restore. Isaiah said, in his day, and none crieth restore. He was calling for revival. What he was calling for was going back to the Word of God. Let's let the law of God be our guide and the law of God to be our guardrail. Let's live right so God can bless His people. In two chapters here in 2 Chronicles, we see a contrast in leadership. And as a result, we see a contrast in living. We see a contrast in the response of God. We see that God blesses righteousness. Would you agree with the statement that God blesses righteousness? The Bible says that God judges wickedness and sin. We see in just one verse here among many judgments that 120,000, and the Bible is plain to say that these are valiant men. These are not untrained soldiers, but these are trained, valiant men of honor. And yet 120,000 die. Why? Because God allowed them to, because of the wicked leadership of that time. I'm always on the lookout for Bible truths about revival in the Word of God. I love to read about revival in the Bible. I love to read about revival in the history of America. I love to read of Bible revivals, of national revivals. And I desire to live in revival in my life. It is true that revivals, regardless of their size, always take place as a result of leadership. Somebody says we need to do right. Somebody says we need to turn from our wrong if we want the blessings of God, and we need to live in obedience to the commands of God. We need to forsake sin and live in righteousness. And sometimes that affects a home. Sometimes it affects a Sunday school class. Sometimes it affects a church. Sometimes it affects an area. Sometimes it affects a region. Sometimes it affects groups. And I've read of many revivals throughout history, such as the revival in Wales that came about as a group of teenagers got on fire for God. And that fire was so bright and so hot that it affected others. At the coal mining town of Wales, the coal mining countryside of Wales, they said that revival so affected the land, so many of the coal miners that used mules and horses to carry and pull the carts of the coal, they said because of the salvation of so many miners, even the mules and the donkeys were living a twice as long of a life because they got born again, not the donkeys, but the miner. And because the miner got, if I didn't mess up, you never would laugh. And because the miner got saved, hey, even the mules lived a happier life. And it can begin with just one person. Now, I want my life to be a revival. I mean that I want my life to burn bigger than me so that I can affect others around me spiritually. And may I say, you do affect others around you. How do you affect them? How do you affect your family? How do you affect your coworkers? Are you a dead, dry, cold coal? Are you an ember burning with the fires of revival? I preach in a church most every Monday night and Tuesday night, and in addition to services here, and sometimes even in the latter part of the week, I don't want to go to a church as a dead, cold piece of coal. I want to go as a burning ember. And I believe that God can keep the fires burning in the heart of every Christian. I'm tired of hearing folks say, well, they just got saved, it won't last long. Well, you're not going to help them any by saying that. But I want to say tonight, you can stay on fire for God. In these two chapters, we have a contrast of leadership and living. Chapter 28, Ahaz's leadership, there was a spiritual dearth in the land. 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah brought about revival in the land and a spiritual awakening. I want to give you several things that brought about the coldness and the deadness to the land and the judgment of God. And just going through some of these verses, look at chapter 28 and look, if you will, at verse number 24. The Bible says of Ahaz, Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Ahaz destroyed the vessels of the house of God. They were not satisfied to just live in the selfish, sinful desires of their own lust and passions, but they were angry at the things of God, so they went from not just their sin to the destroying of the vessels of God. Now, we've seen that happening some in our nation. The sacred things have been attacked in our nation. And we've seen it from groups that want to remove crosses to remember the life or the death of someone. We've seen those so evil that they want to take away our national motto. I had a fella just the other day call me and he said, you know, I want to remind you of separation of church and state. I said, I'm glad you brought up history. Let's talk about that a little while. They don't want to talk to me about American history. You know why? Because the truth of history shows the ignorance and the rebellion of the woke generation. There are those that want to cut up this old book. I remember Brother Roloff preaching a message about the Bible giving me life and birthing me into the family of God. And I remember him holding the Bible. Perhaps you've heard it in recording. He said, well, that book's my mother. It gave me life. He said, I don't like it when you mess with my mother. And he preached, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half. I heard him preach 45 minutes one time against deodorant. I gave it up for all my teen years of life. We live in a day when folks want, and it's sad that even the backslidden theologian wants to take apart the Bible. We hold in our hand tonight something that's very sacred. We hold in our hands tonight the very Word of God that God has preserved. God's given it by inspiration. That means He put His life of the Spirit into the Word of God, and God has preserved His Word. And as Ahaz worked to destroy the holy vessels of God, we've seen the same thing happen in our nation. And I don't have time to spend a lot of time in introduction. I want to get to the positive part of revival. The Bible is a vessel of God. Every servant of God is a vessel in the house of God. Every child and every young person, the devil is out to wreck and ruin. And this old world, and mom and dad, fight for your children. And Sunday school teacher, fight for the young people. And youth pastor, fight for the young people, because those are holy vessels of God that can do a great and wonderful work. But Ahaz, the wicked king, said, we're going to cut up the holy vessels of God. The second thing they did is they closed the way of access to the house of God. We already read that in verse number 24. He closed the house of God. It is surely a sign that revival is needed when men seek to block the way of worshiping God. King Ahaz denied God, and then he sought to shut the doors out from the acknowledging, shut others out from acknowledging him as God. I want to say this evening that we need to keep the church opened, not closed. We don't need less church. We need more church, especially as we see the day approaching and the way of access to God was closed. And the purpose of my message is to talk about the importance of leadership and revival. And it's sad what we're seeing in our country today as leadership is speaking against church. God give us another president. God give us governors. God give us senators. ministers that would say, hey, we need to open our eyes to history and recognize the more people that go to the house of God, the more people that study the Word of God, the more citizens we have of respect and honor and decency. But you see, the work of Ahaz was to close the door of fellowship and the house of God. Let me say, child of God, I don't want to relate us to Ahaz, but a lot of times we close ourselves off to the worship of God. That's why John wrote in 1 John 2:15 when he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We can't have the love of God flowing through us when the love of the world fills our minds and fills our hearts. The way of access was closed. Notice chapter 29 and verse number 7, as Hezekiah was repairing the things that were damaged, he mentioned that the light of the testimony of God had been put out. Notice chapter 29 and verse number 7, also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. You see, in the house of God, they would put the lamps and they would burn incense, which was a picture of the New Testament Christian praying and offering up incense to God. And that Old Testament was filled with types and figures, and they would burn incense, and that was a picture of a sweet-smelling savor, the prayers of God's people. But what Ahaz did was he closed the doors, he locked the doors, he blew out the lamps, and he stopped the burning of the incense that was going on in the house of God. Let me give you the next thing. The offering of incense is given up. Notice verse number 7. Also, they have shut up the doors. They have shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place. In the holy place, not only did they have a place of incense, but they had an altar that was there that an animal was given. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. An animal was given, and it would just put on the altar, and it would just burn up. And what they were saying was, we want you to know that we love you and we take life and we give that to you. You say, preacher, we don't do that today in the New Testament because Christ was our sacrifice. Oh, but listen, Paul said that you and I, our lives are to be given a living sacrifice. There is an altar. We are supposed to put our lives on the altar for God. But what Ahaz did, he stopped the giving of the offering as he put out the lamp of incense as well. And the result was there became a general departing from the worship of God. Notice in verse number 6 what he says here. Chapter 28, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. There is a great need for revival when the multitude turned their backs on the house of God. It is a big deal to attend church. It is a big deal for us to get our families ready on Sunday morning and get our families in Sunday school and church and get our families to church on Sunday night and get our families to church on Wednesday night. What we are doing is we're recognizing God in our life and we come to worship Him. We are not just coming. If you think church is important, then what you're doing, you're evaluating your fellowship with somebody else, and that may not be as important, but our fellowship with God in the house of God is very important. And every time a wicked king came to the place of leadership, he would stop the worship of the God of heaven, because God always blesses those that are faithful to worship Him. That's what we saw in Ahaz. Let's get to Hezekiah. Evidence that revival can come through leadership. I don't know how many people I can convince to have revival, but I want to convince everybody I can. I know what I've been preaching on Monday night around the country has affected some. In fact, many have been an encouragement, but some have been negative toward that, so at least I'm hitting the target. But I want to say tonight, revival is connected to leadership, whether it be in a nation, whether it be a region, whether it be a church, whether it be a Sunday school class, whether it be a youth department, whether it be your home, or whether it be your personal life, we have to have leadership to guide us to revival. Let me give you several positive statements from Hezekiah. First of all, there was a personal consecration. He wasn't a king that just said, okay, if you want to worship God, you can. He came to a time of personal consecration. Notice chapter 29 and verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Men, let's lead our marriage and let's lead our home in doing right. Sunday school teacher, let's lead our class in us individually, not just teaching right, but doing right. Let's do right in the workplace. Let's do right in the classroom. There was a personal consecration. He didn't just say as a king, all right, everybody go back to worshiping God that wants to. No, he himself recognized the importance of a personal consecration. And oh, how we need leaders. You see, you do make a difference in the lives of others. You never want to discourage people in their relationship with God, but you want to encourage them. And the way you encourage them is to have a personal consecration in your own life of your relationship with God. Second of all, the opening of the closed doors. Look at verse number 3, chapter 29. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, I mean inauguration month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Every avenue of the soul that had been closed through the indifference and unbelief and the evil and the wickedness of Ahaz, Hezekiah worked to open the doors. May I say tonight, as we apply this personally, work to open every avenue you can of your relationship with God. Work to open every avenue. Church is the beginning. We go to church the first day of the week. A wonderful thing. We come back on Sunday night, so we begin our week right. Tomorrow, there ought to be a time that you open the avenue for God to speak to you by opening the Bible and letting God speak to you. Make your music spiritual music. Say amen right there. Make your music spiritual music and make every opportunity that you can. He opened the doors of the house of God. He said, everybody come on in. By the way, you read any chapter, any illustration on revival, you'll see the same thing happen. You know what Joel said? Blow the trumpet, call a solemn assembly, tell everybody to come. We have to open our lives to things that are spiritual. That's what Hezekiah did for a spiritual revival in his life. All revival comes from being in the presence of the Lord. Revival comes from being in the presence of the Lord. Let me give you the third thing that he did. There was a casting out of the unclean. Now, I'll not go into detail of this, but we live in a sad day when we've gone from teaching and preaching the Ten Commandments and living moral and clean and right to the place that today there have actually been ordination services of a person that is defined as immoral or an abomination to God. And that's exactly what was going on in the house of God. Ahaz said, if you want to, just use the church of God in any way you want to. And they had filled it up with what the Bible calls filthiness. Now, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. There's never been a revival that there hasn't been first a relationship with God that causes a cleansing of everything that is not holy. The way you can tell the difference and an emotional stir that's labeled revival or a true revival where there is a repentance and a revived relationship with God, the way you can tell if it's a true revival, there's always a cleansing of the evil. Every time. He said in verse number 5, let's look at it. Chapter 29, verse number 5. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and have forsaken me, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. They had brought into the house of God idols that were worshipped of the Baal worshipers. And he said, we're going to get all worldliness. We're going to get all filthiness out. Don't seek an emotional stir and call it revival. Seek a relationship with God where you get in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. And I'll tell you, that will satisfy you like nothing this world has ever offered. And when that happens, you'll say, I want to get rid of everything that is unclean in the sight of God. It's interesting to note that the common Levites had no power to deal with the abominations and the wickedness that were in the inner parts of the temple. So what the Bible says is the priests would go in and they would bring that wickedness out to the court, and then the Levite would take it and destroy it. Look at verse number 16. There's great detail. That's why the Bible needs to be read in more than memes. I don't mind happy memes. They're good. They're fun. We can understand them. But you need more than a verse of revival. You need to see the process of what revival is. Look at verse number 16. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord unto the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it abroad, out abroad into the brook Kidron. What were they doing? They were casting out the unclean. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 19 and verse number 12? First of all, he got close to God. It was not a music concert that stirred his emotion. I'm not against music concerts that stir your emotion, but that's not revival. I'm preaching tonight about the revival of holiness and a revival of relationship with God. And when the psalmist came into the presence of that God that's holy and righteous, the one that loved him, the one that gave him eternal life, the one that created him, oh, dear friend, he cried out in Psalm 19 and verse number 12. He said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. He said, I'm going to get rid of everything I know that's not right. But Lord, I want you to look, and if there are secret faults, get rid of them. I went through the airport Monday morning. I was preaching in somewhere. I forget where I preached this past week. Anyway, I was going through the airport Monday. And I did the same thing. I put my briefcase on the conveyor belt. Donna was there, works with TSA, and I put my phone on there. And it went through the line. They pulled my briefcase to the side. And sometimes randomly they'll do that. But then they said to me, do you have anything in this briefcase that's sharp or that would cut us if we looked inside? My first thought was my Bible, my sword is in there. But it's not a place to joke, and so I didn't joke. I said, no, there isn't. And so they took my briefcase and they opened it, and there's my Bible, and there's my iPad, and there's my calendar, and there's my sermons and all of that. And I thought, I don't know what they're looking for. And then they looked in a pocket, and there was a case, double X pocket knife, that a preacher had given to me the week before. And I put it in my briefcase and I forgot it. And they said, sir, you can't take a knife through. I said, I am so sorry. I know better than to do that. I didn't do that on purpose. I'm sorry. They said, you'll have to take it back. I took it back to the Delta counter, and I know the gentleman that works there, and so he held it for me until Wednesday. He tried to hold it for a ransom fee, but he didn't get it. He didn't get it. And they held it, but I didn't know it was in there. You know what it was? It was a secret fault. You know what the psalmist said? I don't have anything that I know of that's wrong, but go ahead and put it under the x-ray machine. If you find anything there that's a secret fault, cleanse me of those. Just go ahead and get that out. That's what the psalmist is saying. I want to be right. I want to do right. And then last of all, let me close with this quickly. Verse number 11. I want you to see it. Verse number 11, chapter 29. My sons, be not now negligent. Look at these words. For the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Friend, that's revival when God says, look, now that you're clean, now that you've come to a place of surrender, I've chosen you. I want you to serve me. Hear me well. All we should ever desire in this life is to say, Lord, I want to please you with my life. I can say tonight with all of my heart, I just want to serve the Lord. Whatever capacity of life that God's will has taken you into, you ought to say, I just want to serve the Lord. Look at verse number 11 again. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you. I like that. To stand before him, to serve him, and that he should minister, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. What did that mean? The burning of the incense was a sweet smell that was in the tabernacle. What did that picture? What did that picture? That picture's in the New Testament, the prayers of the child of God. You know what he's saying? God's chosen you to serve him. Now you can offer up your prayers and be heard, and those are received. Praise and prayer, those are received of God. Leadership and revival. Who are you leading toward revival? Who are you leading away from serving God? What a sad day it will be when folks stand before God that have led a nation, that have led a generation away from serving God. Let's lead people to serve Him, to be closer to Him. Stand with me if you will. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry if I failed you tonight. I don't want to. I hunger, Lord, to take this book and help us to see it and to hear it. And Holy Spirit, that you bring an understanding to the place that there is not just a coming to church to say, I feel good that I went to church, but Lord, that you'd speak to our heart and say, you ought to be a leader in revival. We need leaders at Commonwealth Baptist College to lead spiritually, to not be persuaded by others, but to lead spiritually. We need fathers and teachers and leaders of spiritual revival. Bless our invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. He's going to sing the invitation song. The altar is open tonight. If God spoke